Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God. How many came to get something from the Lord this morning? Amen. It's good to see these chairs full. God is doing something great in our church. We're so humbled and blessed to see people getting saved and baptized and changed and transformed. And I want to preach a message today that I just really think is so necessary today. I try to preach it at least every couple of years. I probably should preach it more often, but I want to talk about raising a godly family this morning. Raising a godly family. Amen. So this would be a good message to take notes on, I hope. And we know this morning and understand that there's every gamut of situations in this place. There's people who aren't married yet. There's people who are blended families. You know, we had a blended family come in recently and started coming to our small group, and they were telling us about their situation and said, "We're a blended family." And I said, "Welcome to Victory Old Outreach." About half of our church is probably comes from blended families. And so we're able to help. God has a plan, amen, and a purpose for the family. And we know today the family's being attacked more than it's ever been attacked before, amen. And children are having to grow up too fast, and children are doing their own thing. How many have heard this morning about those two mischievous children? Not your kids, amen, those two other ones. These two boys that were in a small town, 8 and 10 years old, and they were always causing problems. Maybe as a parent, you know this. And anytime everything would happen in that small town, they were just waiting for the phone call. They just knew someone was going to call and say, "It's your boys again." And so these boys were getting in trouble all the time, and the parents were at wit's end and didn't know what to do, and they weren't taking them to church like they should have been. And they found out there was a pastor in town, in that small town, who disciplined kids and had a pretty good record of getting kids to straighten up. So they said, "We're taking these kids to this pastor." So they took them to the church, this small church, and they took them into the office, and he took the 8-year-old first. The 10-year-old stayed outside, and he put him in the chair, and he said, "Boy, I want you to tell me where God is." And the boy didn't say nothing. So he got a little bit more upset, and he said, "Are you listening to me?" "I said, I want you to tell me where God is." And the boy just put his head down and wouldn't say nothing. Finally, the pastor got up in his face with his finger. He said, "Listen, you're disrespecting me. You listen, where is God?" And that boy jumped up out of that seat and ran out of that office, ran all the way home, and his brother chased him home behind him, got into the house, ran into the closet. And the other brother ran in and said, "What's going on? What in the world did that pastor do to you?" He said, "God is missing, and they think we did it." Amen. How many got some kids like, don't raise your hand, just kidding. Amen. So I want to open up the Bible to Psalms chapter 128. And these four verses, how many know today the family was ordained by God? Let me just make something clear this morning as we get into this. Families ordained by God. Everything that is in the family is God ordained. He made it the way he made it. We're going to see that this morning. We're going to talk about the roles of the family. And take it down just for 1 second, because I want to just kind of give a little bit of understanding. I'm not preaching at you today. I want to try to teach you some things that I've learned, not only as being a parent and now being a grandparent, but being a pastor. I have a lot of years of experience. We didn't do it perfect. Nobody does it perfect. Nobody does it perfect. But if you're able to see your kids serve God and live for the Lord, you say, "Lord, thank you by the grace of God that was able to happen." But we need help. We need God's help. Amen. And there's a real devil that's trying to attack the family. And so in the structure of the family, all the way back to Genesis, God has had a plan. And he's always had a plan for the family to be blessed. And that song was so important this morning to talk about that your children's children will be favored and the blessings will be on them. How many want your children and your children's children to be blessed? Blessed beyond words, amen, and be happy. And we're going to get into some ways that we can see that happen and talk about that. So I just want you to understand that I'm not telling you that I'm better than you or that I have it all together, but that I have some things that I can try to teach you, try to tell you from experience, not only from my own, but also from others, of how we can raise our children in a godly way
And if you're here and you don't have kids, then you can be a part of this church helping us raise godly kids in this place. If your kids are already grown and your grandkids are already grown, you'll never stop being a parent, but you can help us pray. You can be that example to somebody that they can look at and learn from. But God's word is full of promises. And even though today the world is messed up and the family is destroyed in a big sense, and it's in a way it's going to hell. The family's going to hell today. It's lost. It's not the family it used to be, and I'll show you that in a second in a statistic. But as a matter of fact, I'm going to read that statistic first. Listen, in 1970, just 50 years ago, 7 out of 10 people were a couple, a man and a wife, and ages 25 to 49, and were living with their spouse and had one child less than 18. So 7 out of every 10 people were living in the structure of a husband and a wife and a child in the home. Today, 50 years later, that number has flopped to 30. 67% to 37%. So very, very few families, not even 4 families out of 10, are in the structure of having the husband and the wife and the kids at home in the way that God intended it. How many know God has perfect plans? So that said, let's look at Psalms 128. And a promise of God is what he plans for us if we walk according to his ways. And when we walk, and I want to say when instead of if this morning for us, give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. When we walk the way God wants us to walk, there are blessings. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Now, whether you're a parent or not, whether this affects you or not in this age, this morning, and this time, this verse is for everyone. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs that it's the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And then it says, who walks in his way. So in other words, before we move on, God has a way that the family should function. Does anybody believe that? Doesn't mean everybody does it the right way, but God has a way. His entire book, his entire Bible, his entire words are family oriented. And the structure of the family, listen, no matter how much the media and the government and this world tries to change the structure of the family, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same forever. And God's structure of the family doesn't change. How many believe that? So we can't try to adapt our families to how things are adapting in the world. We have to stand on God's word and use it as a standard. It says, blessed is that person. Then verse 2, watch this. When you eat the labor of your hands, that means it's good to work, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Now watch verse 3. This is very, very powerful. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. And your children, I want to leave this up for a second, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Just as we were singing that song this morning, I was fighting back tears over there of the presence of the Lord and thinking of all of you here lifting your hands and singing and worshiping God. And I had a thought of where would you be today if God had not stepped in? Where would your family be today if you weren't here? What a difference it makes when we try at least to give God the place that belongs to him. Amen? Think about that just for a second. Where would you be right now if it wasn't for where you're at right now? Some of you might be saying in a rebellious way, I'd be sleeping or I'd be somewhere else, but someone drugged me here. Amen? But most of you, I hope, are here because you want to be here. And you're here because you want God to touch you. And so there's a blessing in this. And then watch that verse 4. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. In these 4 verses, we see a structure. Go back to 1 if you would, please. You'll see that it starts off, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. So the whole family, the mom, the dad, and the kids can be blessed if they fear the Lord. But we've been talking about those ifs for a long time. If you don't fear the Lord, you don't walk in his ways, you're not going to be blessed. But if a family chooses to walk in his ways, there'll be blessings. And then he makes it clear here, as we're going to get into the roles here in a second, that it says in verse 2 that this is talking to a man, and then it's talking about he'll be happy with the labor of his hands, and it will be well with him. And then his wife, it says, will be fruitful, like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house. And look at this, your children like olive plants. Now I know most of us here today probably don't have an olive plant. And so we don't really know what that means. But what it means is, listen to this, your children will live peacefully and prosperous and beautiful. That's what olive plant symbolizes. How many want to see your children live peaceful and prosperous and beautiful? You're not a good parent if you don't want that for your kids. Every person that loves their kids and is a good person, whether they have God or not, wants that for their kids. But even more so in God. And then verse 4, look at that again. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So I want to look just for a second into the roles. I want to kind of read this fast for time in Ephesians chapter 5 of what the roles are of the man and the woman and the children in the house. Now, this is something that we don't always get right, but it takes work. How many know that anything worthwhile takes work? You don't look at somebody who has a blessed family, who has kids serving the Lord, and things are going right, and without doing some things right and having some work put into it. A person doesn't turn out good by accident. It takes discipline. I thought that was a great lead-in by David about practice and those different things. And if you think about that, how many know we should bring into church today on a Sunday better discipline, better relationship, better commitment than even to our jobs? In other words, if we're on time to the workplace, we should be on time to church. If we're committed to our workplace, we should be more committed to the church, to the place where God's building our family. If just listen to this real closely, because you can just ignore the rest if you don't. If you don't put an emphasis on the importance of the church, your family's not going to make it. I can just tell you that right now, because what's outside of these four walls is attacks and devils and demons and spirits. And I said this at the end of the first service. It's always interesting with the dynamic of the two messages, but this time I'm going to say it at the beginning. If you don't understand that coming to church is important and you don't think about putting that time in, you're going to miss out on a very valuable thing. Because you have to be the person that says, do as I do, not do as I say. Lots of parents try to raise their kids by saying, do as I do. Or say, do as I say. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't cuss. That's not going to work. They need to see the example. Amen? And so when you come here and you put an emphasis on the house of God, you're saying, we need a place to go where we can get some help. They're not going to raise our kids for us, but they're going to help us raise our kids. And you'll never learn these roles. How many know we all came from some lots of different backgrounds? Lots of different broken families, good families, no families, good parents, bad parents, all kinds of things. And so we're coming in here today, and I always like to say this, we're just a bunch of grown-up kids, right? How many grown-up kids do I have in here? We were all kids once, and now a lot of who we are is who we were as kids, and we've carried that in. And so a lot of stuff we bring in with us comes along with that. So Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Okay, now let's go home. Amen. See you next week. That's not where it ends, is it? Let's go on and keep reading. For the husband is the head of the wife. That's the truth. That's God's word. That's God's plan. Wife, if you're here and you're saying, oh no, there's a problem. Husband, if you're here saying, wife, submit to me, there's a problem. We did a discipleship general a couple weeks ago, and that was wonderful. But ladies, you want me to teach your men individually, because I want to teach your men how to be respectful to you in a way that you'll follow them and submit to them, not them tell you to submit, but you'll want to submit to them because they're living a godly way. We have to learn our roles. And if we don't have the roles right, and we don't understand that I didn't invent this, our pastor, general pastor didn't Apostle Paul didn't invent this. As a matter of fact, one of the things I think that God did on purpose is he chose the Apostle Paul to write these words on marriage, and he wasn't even married. He's telling, he could have had a different perspective, but he's saying that the man is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So men, we have a greater responsibility. You're going to see in these next verses, there's a lot more emphasis on the man than there is on the woman. It says he is the savior of the body. Leave that there for a second. Listen, the man is the savior of the family. When the man is right, the family's right. Listen, I'm not taking away from you, single mom. God bless you for raising your kids by yourself without that loser that walked out the door and left you alone. Praise God that you're being the best man, mom and dad you can be. But it's still God's will for the man to lead the family and the wife to follow and the kids to follow both of them. Can I get an amen? So what we got to understand is just because society's talking different, man still needs to lead. And when a man is doing it right, the family falls into place. Thank God by his grace, a woman by herself or a man by himself or the family that's broken and torn up can make it. But it's still God's will for the family to be in this role. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But here's the problem. We don't do this a lot of times, men. Husband loves your wife, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He asked the woman to submit. He asked the man to die. That's why I say, and I don't argue with anybody about it who wants to, when a family's not right, when a situation's not right, and I'm not talking outside, I'm not talking about the obvious of an affair or something like that, but when a family's not right, it's the man's fault. Thank you for those two amens over there, men. And so there should have been some women. That was your good chance right there. You guys have just missed it. Amen? When it's not right, the man's got to fix something. He's got to fall on the sword. He's got to be the better person. Because the Bible says that I'm supposed to love my wife and die for her as Christ gave himself for her. Next verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water. Now, before I go into the next verse, this submit thing is a great thing that guys like to pull out. You're supposed to submit to me, wife. It says in the Bible, submit to me. I had a guy in our old building, our second building over on Fort Worth Drive, who came in, got saved, got delivered from alcohol, and set free and was serving God and coming to church, brought his wife in, who took a while because she didn't believe he was changed. And then they started coming together, and then she got heavily involved, and she started serving the Lord, and he started to backslide. He started to go back to his drinking, going back to his partying, going back to his old ways. And one time he called me, and he said, Pastor, you got to talk to my wife. She ain't submitting to me. Tell my wife to submit to me. I said, that's not how it works. You have to be submittable. You can't tell your wife to submit to you. Your wife has to submit to you because you're living a life where she wants to submit to you. Now, she should do it because that's what God's calling her to do, but you got to be in that position. You don't just say, submit. She's not a dog. It's a family. It's a relationship. So those roles are important. And the kids are never going to be able to get the blessing that they have if the mom and dad don't get it right. So it starts with us as parents. Amen. And then it goes on to say that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's the church and the wife. Okay, this is a two-tone thing there. So husbands, again, here we go, husbands, again, ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Next time you don't feel like opening the door, next time you don't feel like falling on the sword and making it right and saying, I was the jerk in that. That was my mistake. That was my fault. Treating her as the precious individual that she is. Remember what this says. We ought to love her as our own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh. Listen to this. Paul wasn't even married. You don't think this was God? Paul wasn't even married. He was a eunuch, chosen by God not to marry. But he's telling all these things on the man, and he says, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Church, marriage is precious to God. The family is precious to God. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you one in particular, watch this, here it is again, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So there's roles. Now that's not easy. This doesn't just fall into place. It takes work. Okay? But a good marriage and a strong family is what our nation needs. A church that has strong families and strong marriages is a strong church. But there's nothing that the devil fights more than the family. Amen? So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. How many are on board this morning? I want to listen a little bit, maybe learn a few things. Plato, I know he was a philosopher and secular, all that, but he made a statement hundreds of years ago that was very powerful. Listen to this. He said, the life of a nation is the life of the family enlarged. When you look at how messed up our government is, it's because the family's messed up. Whatever you see on a large scale is what you're going to see. And so church, we're as the church called to be the light in this dark world, salt in the earth. And so we have to build strong families this morning. Amen. And so husband and wife, for those that are taking notes, this is a team effort. Husbands and wives work together, but it has to work in that role. When a wife is trying to do the role of a husband, it doesn't work. When the husband's not being the husband or the father he's supposed to be, it doesn't work. When those things get out of whack, it doesn't work. Again, you might be a single mother. You might be a single father. Those things go without saying. You have an added responsibility. But inside of a marriage where it's a husband and a wife, it's a man and a woman and their kids, there's roles that we have to grab onto. Okay? And so we work together, we get on the same page, and you begin to look around and say, wow, God's doing something in our family. Hopefully today, if you've been here for a while, your family looks better than it did when you walked in. Hopefully. I believe it does. I believe you're in a better place. I believe your marriage is better. I believe your relationship with your kids is better. Amen? So one of the nuggets, I'm going to start to give you nuggets this morning, okay? These aren't in the Bible, but these are experiences that I've learned myself or I've learned from somebody else. Men and women, the best thing you can do for your children is love each other. The best. Genuinely love each other. Doesn't mean you're not going to be mad sometimes and have arguments and have fights and those things happen. But when your kids see, because kids aren't dumb. Kids are very smart and they pick up on things. And when they can see that a husband and a wife genuinely love each other, it's the best thing you can do for your kids. Number one, that they see a genuine affection, that they see you holding hands, that they see you talking together, that they see something visible that shows these people love each other. And then when I get older, I want my dad to love me like that or my husband to love me like that. I want to love my husband like she loves. There's a relationship there, a desire, right? I wanted to raise our two daughters in a way that when they met these two men, it would not be easy for them to win them over. That they saw a man in me that it said, man, I can't just marry just anybody. I had to try to be that. My wife had to try to be the person that, she, as an example of a woman, that she would be to my daughters. That's the roles. How many know we need more today of a man teaching a man how to be a man and a woman teaching a woman how to be a woman? Can I get a better amen on that? I cannot teach you how to be a woman, and you can't teach me how to be a man, woman. A man's a man, and a woman's a woman. Listen, don't let this generational confusion mess up the truth. Amen? There's a way a man carries himself. There's a way a woman carries herself. And we need examples like that in our families so they see that security growing up. One day, Adam came home very late, talking about you working together, and Eve was very upset. She said, you're running around with other women. She told him, Eve, honey, you're being unreasonable. You know you're the only woman on earth. The quarrel continued until Adam fell asleep, only to be awakened by a strange pain in his side. It was Eve poking him in his torso. What are you doing? She said, I'm counting your ribs. Some of you will get that on Tuesday. Some of you haven't read your Bibles. Amen. How many are here? Amen. Write this down. I'm going to get to my favorite part of the message. Back at our old building, I used to have a pulpit. I like this pulpit better, but I used to have a pulpit that was made for me, which was really nice. It was just a little more old-fashioned, but it had drawers and it had shelves and it had a paddle in it. I miss my paddle. I never spanked anybody with it, but I did pull it out from time to time. I wish I had my paddle today. You must discipline your children. Okay? You must discipline your children. I can already see some of y'all like, yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Some of y'all are excited. But you must discipline your children, not the police officer. You must discipline your children, not the school teacher. You must discipline your children, not me. I'm not supposed to be the one that brings discipline to their life. I'm supposed to be the one that brings correction and love and nourishment and everybody else in the church as well. You discipline your children. Can I get a better amen? And I want you to add to that. Write this down if you're taking notes. S-P-A-N-K them. S-P-A-K-N-A-N-K them. Mess it up the second time. Spank them. Oh, I don't know about that. No, we do timeout. Okay, you show me in the Bible where timeout's at. I'll show you 30 verses that says spank your child. 30. Y'all here? Let me read a few to you. But by the way, let me read one first. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. It does not say there the hand, although it's okay to use the hand. But it says rod. And a rod in Greek means a rod. And a rod in Hebrew means a rod. And a rod in Spanish means a rod. Okay? Now, me growing up, it was a switch. Does anybody know, any from a generation that knows what a switch is? I didn't ever get a switch from my mom and dad, but I got a switch from my mamaw. My mamaw said, go get a switch. And I'm like, what's a switch? Go see that tree out there? Go get a limb off of it and bring it here. And what do kids do? What do smart kids do? Smart kids get the little small one. And the little small one is worse than the big one. See, it's reverse psychology. But my mama would use that switch on me. My dad would use a belt on me. You don't use a belt and a switch on your two-year-old, okay? But there's going to come an age when your hand ain't going to work no more. And it's going to hurt. When you say it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you, it's really going to hurt you more than it hurts them. Because you're going to hurt your hand, okay? But listen, I'm being serious about this. Now, I'm not talking about abusing your children. I'm not talking about beating your children. But let me tell you something. As that verse is up, I promise you I could interview right now millions of men. I'm just saying men because it's a mother. Sitting in a prison saying, I'm here because my parents didn't discipline me. And they're ashamed to their mom because there was no rod and no rebuke. But you have to learn, listen closely, and if you've never done this, you can start. It's going to be a little harder to start on a 12 or 13-year-old, though. Better start younger, okay? And one of the things I'm going to recommend to you and as nuggets this morning is that you don't ever discipline your children when you're mad. Okay? In other words, here in church, I don't ever want to see you running after your kid going, bam, bam, bam. Don't do it in church. Do it at home. Do it in the bathroom. I do like when I'd walk by and hear a kid screaming in the bathroom from a spanking. I'm not going to lie. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I do. I try not to smile too big, but I do. I do, and I want to find out who the parent is so I can give them a high five. But you don't do it in public. You don't do it mad. As good as my parents were, how many know parents make mistakes? You're going to make mistakes sometimes. One of the biggest things I could do to make my dad mad was disrespect my mom. If I disrespected my mom, me and my brother and my sister would all get the backhand. Bam, bam, bam. One swing. He didn't ask who did it. Just disrespect came. Okay? So I'm not talking about those moments of anger where you do something you're going to regret later. But you have to follow through with discipline. You have to say, and this is, I'm going to teach you something. You got to get this. You got to get the look. Who wants the look? I'll give it to somebody. Who wants the look? I'm going to give the look to Gavin. Just kidding. He don't even want it. And I couldn't. He's smiling too much. But you know what I'm talking about, right? The look. Or the snap. You know what that means? That means when we get home, if you don't stop now. But the problem is, church, you have to follow through with that. Because if you snap and do the look and don't spank, there's no connection. But if you're spanking your kid at home like you should and disciplining your kid at home, when you give them the look or the snap, it means, oh, I remember last time. It's in the Bible. Look at another one, Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Isn't that crazy? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. And you know, with follow through on spanking, I've told you many times, my dad, I remember my mom spanking me, obviously, but my dad was so good at following through that he taught me to take that into mind. And I had two girls. And I can't even explain to you in my words how much I love my daughters and how hard it was. By the time we got home, they weren't doing what they did when I got mad. And they would walk into that house with those crocodile tears. And I would have to follow through and spank them. Because if I didn't, they would call my bluff. We won't even talk about the, I won't even mention which one of it is. You guys could probably guess. Which one is the one who would say, that didn't hurt? Ever had your kid say that? But here's my answer to that didn't hurt. You didn't spank them hard enough. The behind heals. Have you noticed that? Don't get political on me here. It's the truth. This behind right here, I haven't had to spank little Briar very much. Definitely haven't spanked the other three yet. But Briar needs it every once in a while. And I gave Briar one with no diaper on. And it left a mark. But guess what? 3 minutes later, the mark was gone. Right? When you spank somebody, there's a mark. That behind's there for a reason. My dad missed a lot. He's watching right now. He missed a lot. He got my legs. He got my back. But you know what? I respect my dad today. And I was telling two officers after church in the first service, I also respect authority. Because my dad put the fear of God in me and made me respect men and women. When I see an officer somewhere, I say, hello, officer. I say, yes, sir. I learned that from my dad because he followed through. So it's hard, but you have to follow through. Here's another verse, Proverbs 19. Watch this in NLT. Discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. This is God's word. And this is just three verses of 30 that are in the Bible about correction with the rod, spanking your children, disciplining your children. If you want to do timeout, if you want to do all that, do what you want. Nothing that I'm telling you today you have to do. I'm just recommending you what the Bible says. But I see a generation of people who don't respect authority. I see a people who are very disrespectful to even just people, period. And it's because of a lack of correction, a lack of discipline. And if you don't believe that that rod means physical, in Proverbs, I don't have the verse to put up today, but just for time, 20:30 says actually physical punishment. Physical punishment. Amen? Now, being both on the same page and disciplining, I want to hit this for a second before I move on. This is important. When you are disciplining as parents, you have to be on the same page. It's not that this can't happen by error or mistake, but you can't correct your child and then have your spouse come over and fix it. Or say, daddy said so or mommy said so. You need to be on the same page. If a the mom or dad says something, the other, even if it, at that moment you don't agree, don't fix it right there. Because your kid's going to be confused. You need to affirm what the spouse has said. Mom said, I can't go outside for 3 days. You can't go outside for 3 days. Whatever it is, okay? You have to affirm those things. And don't say, hey, when your dad gets home, he's going to whoop you. Moms, don't make him to be the bad guy. Make it equal. It's equal parenting. You're doing it together. There are certain things that bring in force, but I'm just giving you some nuggets. Kids will play off that. They'll take it and they'll run with it. Mom said this, dad said that. How many times have you told your child something and then they go to the other parent? And they're usually lying, right? Now, this is important. The church, that's this place, is here to teach your kids. Okay, we're back there teaching, and I believe our church has an anointing on teaching kids. Yeah, we really do. We've always had the most amazing teachers and the most amazing. If you talk to kids in this church, they love our kids' church. They love it back there. We don't have anything special, though. We just love kids. But we're confirming back there, listen closely, to what you should be teaching them at home. You don't drop them off and say, hey, teach my kids, and expect the church to raise your kids. The church is supposed to confirm what you're teaching them at home, okay? And then this is just a little chasing of a rabbit here because it's important. Because as we're growing, that means there's more people here. One of the killers of a church, especially a smaller church, we used to deal with this a lot, and especially a smaller church, but it can be big too, is when there's people, kids running around, that's a revival killer. Because not everybody has kids. And not everybody likes kids. Right? Not everybody likes kids. Not everybody has kids. So someone might come in that has no kids, and they see people, kids running around the church, and they're like, oh, I didn't come for that. Right? So that can be a turnoff. But as we grow, we got to understand this, that this church is not a daycare. So when you walk into this church, and I hope that this goes beyond today, not just today because we're talking about it, okay? Someone in the first service says, hey, I'm going to get my kid, like you said. Good. Do that next Sunday too. Amen? But when you drop your kids off over here or over there, you go pick them up after, they need to be with you. Not running around the church. Because just the other day at discipleship, when we did our general discipleship, I was coming into the parking lot, and I got to that corner, and I almost hit a kid running across the parking lot. And thankfully, because I'm on purpose, I don't even remember whose kid it was, so don't ask me. But it was a kid. That would kill a revival real fast. Pastor runs over a kid at church, right? You need to know where your kids are all the time. Matter of fact, Wednesday night, there was kids running around out in the parking lot. And listen, I understand, kids are kids. You're the adult, they're the kids, okay? They need you to tell them what to do. You need to tell them, when we're at church, you're by my side. Well, I'm vacuuming. Well, get a belt and put it around the loop of your belt and put it around their shoulder and tie them up and vacuum with them and connect it to you if you have to, right? Whatever it takes. But the other night when we left, there was more kids outside. And I thought to myself, you know how easy it would be to drive up and grab one of those kids and be gone. We're right off the freeway. Church, I'm not saying that to scare us. I'm not saying that to be mean. We got to know where our kids are. And they need to be on a leash, at least an invisible one. Amen? So they're your kids, not ours. Don't let the church raise your kids. Don't let church discipline the kids. Don't let the church have to take care of your kids. I'm not saying that in a mean way. We want your kids. We want them here. But they can learn the respect of the house of God. And I think that that's another problem we have sometimes with being a spirit-filled church. Try going to the Catholic church and letting your kids run around. There's a respect there. So just because there's a feeling of the Spirit of God here and we shake hands and we clap and we hug and we love, you still got to respect the house of God. And the kids need to learn that. Amen? How many still love me? Children. How many children do I have here? Some of you in the first service late. We're all children, okay? But obviously there's children that are younger. But I'm still a child. I have parents. I'm still a child of my parents. No matter how old I get, I'm still a child, right? And so as that goes, I have a blessing on me if I learn to respect my parents. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, because the flip side is your kids need to understand that there's a blessing when they obey. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. What we just did right here with a baby dedication is confirmed that that child, Remington, is not Destiny and Landon's. It's the Lord's. She belongs to the Lord. And we are just carrying her through this life. He has lent her to us, and they're carrying her through as the parents. It says, you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Okay? Honor your father and mother. Let me tell you something here. You may have parents that weren't good. Some of your parents are gone. You may have parents that weren't good parents. I don't see anything there that says, if your parents were honorable, honor them. I know a lot of people. I gave the example in the first service of people is really admirable, actually. The owner of our building, Jimmy, and I would say this if he was here, his dad died about 10 years ago. He was an alcoholic most of his life and died an alcoholic. But the respect, and he said if he was the best man in the world till 2 p.m. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Till he got drunk every day. And but the honor and the respect that he has for his dad is amazing. Because he wasn't a very honorable person. But I believe that he chose and understood the promise of, I'm going to honor my dad. I'm going to honor my mom, whether they're honorable or not. Because who gets the blessing? The one who honors. Here today, if you'll start to make a decision, as whatever your age you are, if you'll honor your parents, watch what it says. This is the first commandment with a promise. With a promise. Amen? If you honor your father and mother, watch this. Things will go well for you. And you will have a long life on the earth. How many want to live a long life? Want to be blessed? Going back to that first verse. Then honor your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. See, I can tell you today, my dad was a disciplinary person, and he followed through, but I respect him and love him today because he did it in a way that when he corrected me and when he whooped me and when he sometimes, I would consider it, beat me, he told me why. And I don't know if anybody else is this way. Sometimes I didn't do it. Do you know nobody in prison today did anything? Right? I'm innocent. But how many know sometimes you do get wrongfully accused? Well, my dad had the best answer ever. He said, well, I spanked you for the next time you mess up then. Amen? Because you're going to mess up again. But I can't put in words today how much honor and respect I have for my father. Because he did not provoke me to anger. He taught me, he disciplined me, he loved me, he brought correction to me. And says, but rather bring them up with discipline and instruction. Some of you fathers need to learn the instruction part. Not just the discipline. Because you don't want your kids to fear you. You want your kids to respect you. So you got to give them the instruction part. That comes from the Lord. Quote the verse to him if you have to. Now, as I begin to finish, I want to give you a few family nuggets. I'm going to take a few family nuggets. This is just, okay, now I understand my role. I understand I need to discipline. I understand these different dynamics. Here's some things, and this is maybe the most important one. Church, we need to get back to the dinner table as families. We need to get back to the dinner table. That can be in the living room. It can be on the porch. It could be corn nuggets. It could be tamales. It could be cheese crisps. Don't matter what it is, but we need to get back to the table. Spend time together, and we need to put our cell phones away. Amen? We've got to have some time together as a family without the cell phones, talking, communicating, spending time together, watching good movies. I know they're hard to find, but there's a whole channel called PureFlix that has nothing but Christian movies. Play board games. Well, I don't like board games. Well, figure something out that you can do as a family. Playgrounds are free. They're all over the place. Parks are everywhere. Go somewhere as a family. Spend time together. And here's another nugget I'm going to give you, especially for the younger kids in here, parents with younger kids. Keep that door open. Keep the bedroom door open. There's no reason why they need to go behind that door and shut the door and be gone all the time. If you'll raise your kids in a way where you're fun and you're relative and you spend time with them and you're excited about spending time with them, they'll want to be with you. Our daughters always wanted to be with us. We'd go to movies together. We'd spend time together. We'd play games together. We'd watch TV together. We'd do things. They very ever rarely, you can ask them, are ever rarely in their bedrooms. If your kid just goes home and goes straight to the bedroom, you got some work to do. You got to build a relationship with them. How many know I'm just telling you this is things to think about? And you need to know what they're watching. You need to know what they're doing. Behind closed doors, bad things happen. I read a stat to the guys on Friday that's staggering. You know, pornography is not getting better. It's getting worse. I said a few years ago that the pornography industry makes more money in a year than ABC, NBC, CBS, NFL, MLB, NBA, and hockey altogether. That's a lot of money. Pornography. Sites. Okay? And now they came out with a recent stat this year that the top pornography site is getting more visits than TikTok, OpenAI, Zoom, Netflix, and Amazon together. And the top site is getting 700 million more visits than Amazon. What are your kids watching? We just heard a story this week, close to home. I'm just going to say that, not give any more details, in this area, of kids that are watching or playing little innocent video games. And those behind those innocent little video games are pedophiles. You can ask Officer Josh about that if I'm telling the truth. There's stuff behind those things. There's things that predators and pedophiles are trying to get to your kids through. So you have to monitor what they're watching. You have to pay attention to what they're doing. Amen? Listen to this. In a survey, 1,500 children were asked, this is powerful, what makes families happy? 90% said doing things together with mom and dad. 90%. All they want to do is spend some time. Parents, you might not believe this, but you're a hero to them. Until you prove different, you're a superhero to your kids. Your kids think you there's nothing you can't do until you prove them wrong. Amen? As the musicians are beginning to come, here's a couple more. Listen, young kids. How many got young kids? Maybe less than 3 or 4. Okay? Don't raise them on the tablet. Don't raise them on a cell phone. I know that there's times you got 2 kids, you gotta get something off the oven, you need 5 minutes. There's times for that. But don't just put it in front of them all the time and raise them on a tablet. Spend time with them, interact with them. One thing our kids are good with and watch them and learn from them. Have you noticed that kids like our grandkids, those ages, are so much more responsive now? Because they're being stimulated by so many things. But you got to get in their face and talk to them and stimulate them and spend time with them. They're either being stimulated by you or a tablet. Right? So don't raise them that way. Open communication, parents. You need to talk to your parents, your kids, about everything. Everything. Kids, you need to be able to talk to your parents about everything. Because if you don't talk to them about everything, guess who's going to talk to them? Everybody else. School. The government, social media is going to speak to your kids and put all kinds of ideas in your kids' heads. And so you need to be in a place where if they make a mistake, because they're going to make mistakes, and they come to you and they talk to you, you don't say, again? What? Don't overreact. Because when you do that, You shut off the communication. You need to be able to be open with them. Let's talk about anything. How are you feeling? What are you going through? What are you dealing with? One last verse to close, Deuteronomy 5:29. This is so powerful. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them. And this is like the song we sang this morning, and with their children forever. Back to the beginning, God's got a promise for us. Parenting's hard, family is hard, blended families is extra hard. When you've got two different people with two different kids, you gotta go over those dynamics of discipline. But church, we gotta get to the Bible and use the Bible as our example for everything. Don't listen to psychology today. Listen to the Bible. Amen. Amen? Let me give you one last quote and we'll pray. This is so powerful. It's better and easier to build strong children. Okay? It's better and easier to build strong children than to repair broken adults. So we got to spend time right now. You only get your kids for a certain amount of time. I'm not just talking about the years that they're with you. I'm talking about how much time they're with you personally. And listen to this. This is important. I don't mean in the same room. I mean really with you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's not just for kids and parents. That's for spouses. That's why we have to put that phone down. Put it away. It's always going to be there. You're always going to grab it. Put it away. Get rid of it so that you can have eye contact. Talk to that person. Have communication with that person. I could sit and talk to anybody on a porch for 5 hours. Just talk. We need to get back to talking again. And not let the phone and the TV and these things dictate what we're thinking or what our situation is. Because listen, as you're sitting in that few moments, listen carefully, parents, that few moments at the house, they're gone all day long at school. They're getting 8 hours of information from a school. And we know how bad that is right now today. They're pounding into your kids all kinds of ideas. They're around all kinds of friends. And then they come home to a little bit of time with you. Are you spending time with them? Or are you just in the room with them? Got to have that time because the time is short. And we can do this where how many would love to have your kids love God for themselves? Like want to come to church, not because you want them to come to church. Want to live for God. Want to talk about Bible verses with you and sing worship songs. That should be our goal this morning. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. I hope and pray that I've helped some people today through your word. I pray that you can help us as a church raise godly families. There's nothing more attacked today than the church, the family, sorry, church. God, there's nothing that the enemy's fighting more than the husband and the wife and the kids, or the parents and the kids, or the mom or the dad and the kids, whatever the situation is. Or that blended family that's trying to make it work with all kinds of past hurts and all kinds of situations. Lord, the good news today is there's hope for the family. We can be light in this dark world, salt in this earth. And God, some of these parents here today, I thank the God that their kids are still so young. There's a lot of hope for them today. They can begin to put this stuff into practice right now. But God, I pray also for those that may be older, Lord, and have kids that are already grown up. And Lord, they may feel like they failed or may feel like they didn't do things right and they wish they could go back and change things, but they can't. But God, they can still pray. They can still declare and speak life over their kids and their grandkids. It's never too late. There's always hope. Today, as you're listening to me, I feel led to say this. You're here and you're a parent that's got older kids. And you may be feeling attacked by the devil right now that you wish you'd have done a lot of the things that we talked about today. It's called hindsight. It's 2020. But you feel like it's too late and you feel like it's over. And I feel the word of the Lord saying to you, you have a power in prayer. You can speak life over those kids. You can declare those dry bones to live again. And you can pray that somebody would reach your kid in a way that you can't reach them. God would send somebody to them to witness to them and share their faith with them. Father, today in this place, I pray there be no condemnation, but there be a desire in this place to live for you and to raise a godly family, for the husband to be a lover of his wife and treat his wife good and be a father that kids look up to, and a woman, Lord, that knows how to be the example of what a woman is, God, and respect her husband, and they raise those kids together. God, help these families today by the grace of God. Maybe you're here today, and we're going to pray in just a moment at the altar for these things, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today you may be here and you're not even a parent, but today your life is spiraling down, and you need a change in your life, and you're ready to see what God can do. Jesus can change your life today. How many all over this place, from front to back and side to side today, could say, I don't know where I would go if I died today. I don't know where I would spend eternity. The Bible says we can know. The Bible says that Jesus Christ paid your price. He who knew no sin became sin for you, so you could become the righteousness of God. Today, all you have to do is believe that Jesus took your place. And he'll save you right now. He'll write your name in the book of life. He'll forgive you of all your mistakes. There's nothing that you've done God can't forgive. How many all over this place, as we're praying in reverence to God and saints, you help me pray, could say today, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I've never confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Just put up your hand real quick and put it down. I want to pray with you this morning. Just put it up and put it down all over. I've never given Jesus my life. I want to do that today. I've never been born again. I've never died to myself and allowed the Savior to come in and take over. That's me. Maybe you're here and you did that prayer. You said that prayer. You believe, but today you're not walking with God. Maybe you're in a place of rebellion, you're a place of anger, you're a place of frustration, and today you want to say, God, I want to get back to my first love. I want to get back to that relationship I had before when I had peace and joy and blessings, and I knew that God was on my side and God was with me. How many could say, that's me today, Pastor? Would you pray for me? I want to come back home. Just put your hand up. Put it back down. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Let's stand all over this place this morning. Amen. How many know God will help us? The coolest thing about serving God is it's never too late. You can walk out of this place and put some things into practice. I know the kids are saying, oh, Lord. Maybe they've never been spanked before, and they might have some spankings coming. Well, kids, don't do nothing wrong. Obey your parents. Respect them. Honor them. And things will go well. I want to open up these altars. I want to do something I don't usually do, hardly ever. If you're here as a couple, husband and wife, as we open these altars, usually I like to see people pray by themselves so they can just work on themselves. But I'd love to see you as a couple come down and pray together. Hold hands. Ask God to help you. Say, Lord, give us some wisdom on how to raise our kids. You know, if you ask, James 5 says, if you ask, he'll give you the wisdom. God, how do I handle this situation? How do I handle this kid? How do I handle that kid? Amen? God will help you. He'll give you the wisdom today. As we begin to sing, we open these altars up. Let's find a place to pray. I'm going to pray with you, and leaders can help me. But if you're a spouse and you're a leader and you're with your spouse, you go ahead and pray, and I'll pray for you. But I want to just minister to you today, and I want to pray for couples. Children, come down, find a place. Say, Lord, help me to honor my parents. Whatever your situation is today, God's here to help us to raise a godly family.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.